going to get a lot more stadium for the money. It'd be easier to get down to Hammond. Plenty of room for tailgating. You're going to get a beautiful stadium built. Logistically, most of the fans would be better off there than they would up in Arlington Heights. The Bears, I don't think in any shape or form, would want to be a business partner with the city of Chicago for the next 50 years.
Welcome to the Voices of Freedom podcast, where we sit down with the voices behind the scenes at Freedom 95.
Hey, Randy, it's the governor. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Governor Braun. How are you doing?
No complaints.
Well, happy belated month of May, and thank you once again for calling today, Governor. I really appreciate it. I wanted to know, did you have a chance to make it out to your friend's RV this past month of May?
I sure did, and it was just as much fun as last year, and we actually made a reservation down at Dawson's and started off there at the RV and then walked down to the village, and I think our reservation was about 7 o'clock, and stopped in the Legion again, and they wanted me to say a few words, and then we had probably an hour and a half nice dinner. That place was rocking. I mean, folks from out of town, in-towners. I mean, it was just a really fun evening. The more I see the kind of the whole motif down there, it's interesting to see the real, what the race means to the real people on the street.
Completely. And I think Doug and Roger have just done an excellent job.
They really have. They really have.
Did I read correct that your first race was when you were 21 years old?
That first race was. I was a tag-along with my girlfriend, high school sweetheart, and wife-to-be. We were juniors in college, and she was a princess, so I got to go along with her.
That is awesome. Now, had you guys been dating for a while before that, or was that?
We have known one another since first grade and went to school together. Her maiden name was Berger, so many home runs. We were next to one another, and in grade school, I have no recollection of it, but she says I was a pest, so it set me back basically 12 years. We started dating the December of our senior year.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, you should have said, hey, I'll see you at senior year, Marine.
Yeah, that's when it counts.
That's right. Well, you won, Governor. Let's just say you won. Well, like I said, it's great to talk to you. But to start off on this first thing that means so much to me personally, a lot of my friends, a lot of my colleagues, I just wonder if you could elaborate and thank you for the gas tax situation that's going on. But tell us a little bit more about that, Governor, if you don't mind.
So the affordability issue, Randy, is real. That's what all the clamor was about, property taxes. Of course, I campaigned on it. And the thing that teed me off about our Senate, the same ones that died on the Hill and not wanting to do redistricting, they gave me Senate Bill 1, which would have reset property taxes back to pre-COVID. And we could have built from there up, but they completely gutted that bill. And we had to start from scratch, and it took us 4 months to get now. So your listeners know, your homes will be two-thirds exempted over the next 5 years. And a lot of people don't even know that. So we got a lot done there. We saved about $1.5 billion in property taxes over the next 3 years. We put a lid on them for regardless of not going up more than 4%. And that should actually be lower, shouldn't be growing faster than the growth of the economy. But gasoline is something you look at every week. And then utility rates, of course, we've weighed in on that. Those all constitute affordability issues. Cost of health care, I've harped on that, fixing my own business many years ago. All of that has gotten out of hand. And when Biden gave us 25% inflation in one dose over 22, 3, and 4, it really disturbs me that Republicans aren't smart enough to at least lead off with that. And now they think they're the party of affordability. Hmm. Well, that's the biggest hype job you could ever even consider thinking about. So this is just one way where when there's an energy emergency, some people would say, well, is this an emergency or not? It is on the back of all of the stuff that's gone up in cost, and it affects middle-income and lower-income folks more than others, and that's why I've been paying attention to it.
We are so grateful for that. And honestly, I mean, if anybody in the United States could go out on a commercial tonight and say, oh, by the way, we have the least expensive gas in the country everybody be like, let's move to that state. So thank you, by the way.
Well, you're welcome. It does. And when prices went up, you were gaining more income from the taxes on it. That financed probably the May reprieve. Of course, at the end of May, early June, I extended it through June. And then just here the other day, I did it through July. And constitutionally, that is something that is not embedded in it, but there was a statute. If it's an energy emergency, rather than other types of emergencies, you could go, instead of just 60 days, 120. So I'll be taking a look at it again in early July.
I know, too, what's so unique about this is we can actually afford to do that, and we have a plan for it. And that's actually something you said specifically. So that is so great that as an Indiana resident that we had a plan. You know, we can afford to do it because there's a lot of states that just can't.
No, because from the time I've been in here, I ran on streamlining our state government. It was bloated through COVID. We've probably, it's a $23 billion budget annually. K through 12 is half of it. Post-secondary public schools, another 15%. And then healthcare dominates almost the rest of it. Infrastructure is a big ticket, but that's paid for through dedicated sources, fuel taxes and other fees associated with the use of roads. So I've taken state government and we've gone from top to bottom and we're running it more efficiently to where I think through this nearly year and a half, we're probably saving close to $1 billion. That's getting put into surpluses, not being spent. And at some point, we'll look to maybe giving that back to the folks that have been paying taxes. If, in fact, there's not good ways to get an ROI on it by doing things within state government. But regardless, going forward, we should keep clipping somewhat of a cost dividend. A lot of that would be one time, but what's really knocking it out of the park is economic development. It's focusing on small businesses, Main Street, all the way through the larger ones. We've got the fastest growth in the Midwest, twice as fast as our neighbors to the west or east, three times as fast as Kentucky. Listen to this, we're growing six times as fast as Michigan.
Oh my goodness.
And we're raising wages significantly too. All that enables us to do something like this because we'll replenish those funds that we lost through the excise tax and the use tax because roads and bridges are important too.
Clearly, and it seems like the national government is actually taking cues from us here in Indiana.
Well, I was there for 6 years, and they don't take many cues on anything. I'm borrowing and spending more, and I harp about that all the time. But I really think, Randy, the big issues in this country, don't look to them. They can't figure out how to spend less than they take in. Look at all the crazy policies that they go along with the revenues you might get. And most of them you've been borrowing, not even raising them. So I think enterprising states, which is the way the founders intended it to be, not a big, fat federal government that can't, you know, actually run its own affairs well. I think that's going to be the way things get fixed in the future.
Well, well said, Governor Braun.
Yeah.
That I see there, too, 62 cents per gallon at the pump that Indiana residents, as far as what we're saving, is that correct?
That is correct. About 23 of it is going to be the use tax, and the balance will be the excise tax. So, yeah, and as the wholesale cost of gas goes up, the use tax could actually go up. But that's actually starting to come down. Where I'm from in southern Indiana, when I left on Monday morning, gas was selling for $3.39 a gallon.
God bless Indiana, because I've been traveling quite a bit, so I know that is definitely way down from the national average. Well, tell me a little bit more. That kind of ties in, obviously, to Indiana's economy. You know, a year and a half in now, here we are. Where you see us, where you like to see us going in the future, and kind of elaborate a little bit more on Indiana's economy right now.
Well, the one reason we've been able to do it quickly, because there's so much you can do through executive orders and just good management of our state agencies. For folks that don't know, it's over 30,000 employees, 70 agencies sprawling. They weren't being run very well. I reorganized state government to where I got seven or eight private sector kind of entrepreneurial types to help me run education, healthcare, infrastructure, energy, business practices, the whole gamut, and especially our budget. She, Lisa Hirschman, used to work at the Pentagon, and she did such a good job there, she was making them look bad in terms of all the money they were saving. So we're running it like a business, and most people say, well, you can't do that, it's government. Oh, yes, you can. You can actually get a win-win there. You can do it better and for less cost. That's what we've been doing. And then on economic development, most people ignore small businesses. Small businesses create most of the jobs. Large ones house many of them, but they are not the growers, the creators. So that organic growth, to try to make sure that we create entrepreneurs out of our kids, as opposed to just defaulting to try to get a degree and then go work for a big company, we're changing that dynamic, and we've seen a result in a short period of time.
It seems like Indiana is the maverick, thanks to you and your team, as far as the things that we're doing and the ways that we're doing things different. Once again, it just all ties back to small business and starting back in your business and growing up in the business. Now you know all of a sudden how to be cost effective, and you're implementing it in a society of people that never, ever were cost effective.
Definitely been doing it. We'll keep doing it.
Well, Governor Braun, I know I've got a cousin that is very nervous about this, and he wants to know a little more elaboration on it.
Where does he live, in Chicago?
That's right. No, they were born in Illinois, but now they live in Indiana, and they are Bears fans, and so they want to know a little bit more detail about this Bears entanglement that's going on up north, and I wondered if you could elaborate a little bit for us.
So I've always said they had 3 years to get it done. We just heard recently the Bears organization put it out there publicly. They've been trying to, you know, get something worked out. They started 5 to 6 years ago. And their governor, their state legislature, and you got to remember, the city of Chicago isn't wanting the stadium to leave Chicago. And so many of their state reps and state senators are from the city of Chicago.
Sure.
So imagine all that trying to work out. And when the legislature was in session for 5 months, and they couldn't get a bill across the finish line, that was a telltale sign that when you've had 5 to 6 years, three officially, and then you've had 5 months or so, that looks good for Indiana. So the odds have gotten better. And even for folks not wanting to see it leave Chicago, you're going to get a lot more stadium for the money that you're going to spend. It'd be easier to get down to Hammond, plenty of room for tailgating. You're going to get a beautiful stadium built. Logistically, most of the fans would be better off there than they would up in Arlington Heights. And the Bears, I don't think in any shape or form, would want to be a business partner with the city of Chicago for the next 50 years. It was just released not too long ago that Chicago, a large portion of their city budget, is servicing debt, mostly interest.
No.
Almost 2 to 3 times the extent of what the federal government costs, so percentage-wise. So a lot of good reasons in terms of why it does make sense. And now you're up against the clock. Both the league and the Bears got to do something here soon, or else they won't get out of their current digs in an orderly fashion with a new stadium built.
That shines some light on it, that's for sure. I guess being an Indiana resident, I can look forward to potentially having 2 teams right here within my own state. So I appreciate everything that you guys are doing as far as making it accommodating for them. And I wanted to end with a kind of a one-off here. I wondered if you, Marine, or your family, are you guys going to get away? And do you have any summer plans at all to relax? I know you've been super busy for a year and a half. I don't know if you're going to get away at all.
You know, a lot of our getaway is, I didn't grow up on a farm, but I've lived on one ever since we moved back in the late 70s. And most of my relaxation and getaway is I either open my front door or my back door and head out and do a lot of hunting and fishing. And 3 of our 7 grandkids live there in Jasper. And we do travel more than what I'd probably like to. She does a little more of that. But we always have found time to relax, recharge our batteries. And the thing is, we love most where we live, so we do a lot of that right there.
Well, that's awesome. I know that area is beautiful, so you're very blessed down there. Thank you for your time, as always, Governor Braun, and we're very grateful to have you on Freedom 95. So thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and take care.
Okay, look forward to doing it again soon.
You You've been listening to the Voices of Freedom podcast on Freedom 95. For an audio archive, visit the podcast tab at freedom95.us.